In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 63. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thine garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within them, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble? As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us and Israel acknowledgest not. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servants' sakes, the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, the first section is obviously divided as verses 1 through 6. And we speak about the judgment. And the judgment there is, it's set forth in a conversational mode. I don't know if you noticed that or not. But so the prophet asks the question, who is he that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. So there's a question and there's an answer. Then secondly, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? Then I have trodden the winepress. So you see the conversational format there. Who is this? I am he. Who is this? I am he. And this is a conversation, I think, that is taking place in visionary format, if you will, or prophetic format between the prophet and prophetically the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see this same picture in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, aren't we? I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true in righteousness. He doth judge and make war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head many crowns. He hath a name that no one knoweth but himself, and he has a vesture. He's wearing a vesture that is dipped in blood, just like here. He's treading out a winepress. Notice, we see the same thing in the book of Revelation chapter 19 again. He treads out the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. So, who is this one whose garments, it says, you look like you have been treading out the wine in the winepress. You got red splashed all over your garment. The response of the one who is treading out the winepress says, yes, but it is not the winepress you think. I will tread them in mine anger, trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. And that last phrase simply means that I will not draw back from judgment until it is indeed complete. Well, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is not only the Savior of His people, but He is the judge of all the earth. In John chapter 5, you'll remember this. The Father judgeth no man, but He hath committed all judgment to His Son. So who do we have here then? Who is this that cometh from Edom? By the way, you know what Edom means, right? Red. Now, this is not necessarily referencing Edom, Mount Seir, Timon, if you will. It's not referencing that. It's referencing the redness of it. It's a play on words. Who's this that comes from red, dressed in red, like you've been treading out the wine? The answer of Christ is, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. But notice also that He's mighty to judge. And so that takes us down through verse 3. The day of vengeance is in mine heart. And notice, the year of my redeemed is come. The vengeance that the Lord Jesus exercises is also the year of His redeemed. Right? Because there is a great assize at the end of days. There is a great dividing. There is a separating of the sheep from the goats at the end of days. Now notice also, I looked and there was none to help. I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury, it upheld me. Jesus earlier said, I have tread the winepress alone. There's none that is with me. And so it is that Jesus is our only Redeemer, and He is the only Judge. And it is indeed according to His strength. So I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk with my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. This is fearful language, beloved. We don't want to be on that bullseye. We want to get that target off of our chest. And so it is also, it seems, the press of the prophet to do the same thing. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord. Very next words. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all the Lord has bestowed upon us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel which He hath bestowed on them according to His mercies and according to the multitude of His loving kindnesses, His chasadim, His covenant fidelities, if you will. So it's very important then that we follow the example. We follow the example of the prophet here and not rah-rah, sis-boom-ba, look at the Lord, judge His enemies, but that we remember the loving kindness of the Lord instead. Right? That we remember that it is only by His mercy and by His grace that we are not in the bottom of that wine vat of His judgment with the rest of the sinners. And that's a really important point because that's what's going to go on and finish out the remainder of Isaiah chapter 63. The remainder of Isaiah chapter 63 is the prophet pleading with the Lord on behalf of the people of God who have gone astray, that the Lord would, according to His mercy, remember His covenant of old and draw them back to Himself in obedience and in faithfulness, rather than to let them go astray and become the objects of His wrath like unbelieving nations. That really does take up the rest of the chapter, that particular request. And so the Lord would call, so the prophet would call upon the Lord concerning His people. Notice what he says. They rebelled. They vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them. The Lord didn't change His mind toward them, but He changed His face toward them. The Lord doesn't change His mind in that way, but He certainly He changes His face. He changes the way He is revealing Himself to them. He turns the face of His displeasure toward them for their sins. And so the prophet reminds the Lord, "You're the one who brought us out by Moses. You're the one who led us through the deep. Look down then from heaven," verse 15, "and behold from thy habitation of thy holiness and thy glory. Where is the zeal and the strength, the sounding of thy bowels and mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Thou art our Father," he says, "though Abraham and Isaac forsake us. Lord, thou art our Father, our Redeemer. O Lord, thou art, O Lord, art from everlasting." Now notice 17 through 19. Having pled the unchangeable nature of God, "Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sakes the tribes of thine inheritance." Isn't that a great request? Notice that the Lord doesn't get the blame for the people's sins. Instead, notice that there is a providential acknowledgement of that, and that the people of God ought to be walking in the ways of the Lord. And so, recognizing that the people of God do not have that strength in themselves, the prophet pleads with that kind of intercessory prayer before the Lord, that the Lord would turn His people yet again unto Himself. That's a godly intercession. That is a godly prayer. No, we ought not to be calling fire and brimstone down upon one another in our attitudes and in our prayers. Actually, what we ought to be doing is pleading for the Lord's mercy, one for another and for ourselves. That the Lord would remember mercy in the midst of wrath. "The people of thy holiness have possessed it," that is the land, the inheritance, "but a little while our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary." Now notice, we are thine. We are thine. Again, it is the sanctuary of God that has been trodden down. And so once again, we avoid that mercenary kind of attitude that asks for the blessings of God without the exaltation of God's name. No, the pleading of the prophet here is that the Lord would exalt His own name. All right, thus ends the reading of Isaiah chapter 63. I'm going to